Welcome to the creative brain of Dean Hawk. Get ready to be challenged, inspired, and equipped to become a better ministry leader.
Hey, welcome to everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to this month's podcast. This is Dean. I want to say thanks for joining me and just want to encourage pastors that it's my heart to help coach, answer questions, be of assistance to you with our pastor 411. Just simply email me, dean@rockfamilychurch.com, dean@rockfamilychurch.com with your question, your issue, your situation, and then we'll set up a phone call, a Zoom call, and we can chat, and I'd love to help you out with that. Easter Sunday is coming up in just 2 weeks. Praying for great weather, praying for God to do incredible things in your church. But let's go ahead and dive into this month's topic that is actually going to be a two-part topic. We'll finish up next month in April, but we're talking about how to measure success. And initially, in this first one, we're going to talk about how to measure our personal success and then how to measure your team's success. And what does that look like? We'll get into that next month. But in sports, we define success by the final score, the most points wins, or if in golf, it's the least points wins. In business, we define success by the potential profits or our customer base. In a race, we define success by who crosses the finish line first. And in life, success is determined by maybe personal satisfaction, happiness, longevity, compatibility. And in all of these examples, there is a clear mark of distinction as to what success is. There's a winner and there is a loser. And in our church world, our scoreboard of success isn't so clear. And sometimes there is a tendency to confuse success with the rewards of success. And you say, what do you mean? Well, here's what I would say. Success is not the raise, the recognition, the building completion, the large attendance numbers, the big offering. Those are only the rewards of success. And many of you are some of the most successful pastors, youth pastors, and leaders in the country right now, yet you don't feel like it because you don't see the fruit and maybe the rewards of your success yet would be the key word. The Apostle Paul said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize." And he goes on and he says, "Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." And he said, so therefore, I don't run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the personal disciplines. What are those things? It's the personal disciplines are what creates a great athlete. And it's the personal disciplines of our life, both spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, that create the great servant for the kingdom of God. In our church world, there are multiple factors that a very high percentage of churches measure their success or failure by on a weekly basis. Number one, how many people got saved? Number two, how many people were in the house? And number three, what was the offering? And here's what's interesting about each one of those is we can have an amazing worship set. We can preach a powerful message. We can experience the tangible presence of God, but our attendance is low and we walk away disappointed. And we feel like, well, there should have been more here. We feel like we failed and we're frustrated and our joy is lost, when in all actuality, we had a great service. Or maybe we had good attendance, but man, the offering was peculiarly low. And how are we going to pay our bills? And how are we going to make payroll? And God, you need to move. And we're scared, we're intimidated, we're frustrated, we're mad. Or maybe our offerings were good and our attendance was good, but no one responded to the invitation. Oh God, we struck out. No one said yes to Christ. I feel like a failure. Well, a lot of those things are not under our control. I can't control when somebody's going to get saved. I can't control when somebody's going to give or not give. And I definitely can't control when somebody's going to show up or not show up to church and what excuses they might have for not coming that day. And so we can't control the uncontrollable. The very things that we use to gauge in the church world, success or no success, are all uncontrollables. And so for decades, we've allowed the enemy to defeat us. We feel like a failure because a person's will went against what we were hopeful that would happen. And so here's what I think is a big mistake that we've done, is we've been trying to own God's part and not giving attention or concern to our part. And so what I want to share is how to measure success and what does that look like for us? And so we need to understand the big picture. And here's the way I would put it. Number one, comparing to others will always make you feel like a loser. The enemy will always find somebody who is bigger, better, badder. You can be feeling good and he'll cross your path with a pastor, a church that's doing something beyond where you are, and you'll feel less than. I look back at a Joel Osteen who had never really preached and had always been on the production side of the service and had never been on the platform side. And if anyone had an opportunity to feel inferior and not being a good pastor, it was him. But he had to move beyond those feelings of feeling less than. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:12 out of the Message Bible, we're not, understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that there are superiors. We wouldn't dare do that. But in all this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. Be careful that you're not comparing and grading and competing. So what is it? Our job, number two, our job is to plant the seed, cultivate, water, and fertilize. But we have to know it is God that makes it grow. Our part is to plant the seed, cultivate it, keep the weeds out, water it, and fertilize, but it's God that gives the increase. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Number three, growth is the fruit of our labor, not the focus of our efforts. I'm going to say that again because we need to get that into our head. Growth is the fruit of our labor, not the focus of our efforts. If we are just pursuing growth, we're not pursuing ministering to people. When I pursue making sure that every person that comes to church on Sunday is being touched and impacted by the power of God, and my focus is I want to minister to their needs, I want to love them, touch them, impact them, if that is happening, the fruit of growth will happen. But if all we're doing is standing at the front and we're looking over our shoulder and we're counting heads and we're looking at the capacity and what rows and seats are empty, our focus is on the wrong thing and we need to make that shift. Number four, we focus on our responsibilities and we leave the results up to God. We get our eyes on the wrong things and we get distracted from the mission. Our job is to pray. God's job is to heal them. Our job is to tell them about Jesus. It's Jesus's job to save and to deliver them. Our job is to teach them. It's God's job to take that word and that seed and plant it in their heart and to grow them. Our job is to use the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. It's God's job to set them free. So number five, the reason we are frustrated in ministry is because we aren't God. We can't control everything, and we're not in charge of much. And we want things to happen that are beyond our control. So what I want to share with you is my personal checklist. Here's how I make sure I'm focusing on the right things, that I'm not focusing on success, but I'm staying focused on the mission. And here's where I begin. Number one, am I staying personally connected with Christ? What is my daily walk with Jesus look like? Am I ministering from a reservoir of my time and fellowship with Jesus? Or am I going to the Word? Am I going to the Word of God just to pull out a bucket of water to serve to the people on Sunday? There's a big difference if you're serving out of a bucket or you're serving out of a reservoir. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, what? You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But I'm shocked and surprised at the number of pastors that attempt to pastor, attempt to lead, and they're not having their personal quality time with Christ. They're not having that quiet time, that prayer time, that connection time, and that fellowship time with him. In Luke chapter 10, it says, and Jesus and the disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat on the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And we've heard the words of Jesus, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away from her. And so we need to unplug from that Martha mentality that, yes, we can do the work, and we chip out and a sermon outline. We chip away. But what if we spent an hour or two or three just basking in the feet of Jesus, just saying, God, I want to spend time with you. I want to hear your heart. I want to know your heart. I want to spend time with you. We would come away much, much richer and with a fullness. Number two, am I being faithful to my God-given mission? Am I staying mission on point? Am I getting distracted by other things? Throughout my 40 plus ministry years and career, I have had multiple opportunities to get invested in side businesses and part-time businesses and other things. And I've realized that I need to stay faithful to what God has called me. The blessings of God, the favor of God are the richest when I'm walking down the center of His will. Can God bless me if I do some other things? Surely He can. Is there anything wrong if you do? No, as long as you don't get off course in your first God-given mission. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Am I faithful fulfilling the call and the purpose of God on my life? True success in the kingdom of God is staying faithful to the vision and the plan that God has given you. If you are where God wants you to be and you're fulfilling the responsibilities He has given you, you are successful. Success is remaining faithful to the plan and the process that God has laid out. You see, many people would look at Joseph and they would see him as a slave, and they would see him potentially as a prisoner, and they would declare him as a loser. He obviously, that poor fellow, man, he's just not walking in the plan or the purpose of God. Yet he didn't look successful in the world's eyes, but yet in God's eyes, he was one of the most successful men walking on planet Earth at that time. He was walking down the center of God's will, but it didn't look successful on our human form and standards. Recognize that God judges and looks at a different level and aspect than we do. I look at David. David was successful long before anyone enchanted his name or called him a hero. He was a success when nobody was around to cheer him on when he killed the lion or he killed the bear. He didn't do it for the glory, the attention. He chose to be a successful shepherd and protect the sheep under his watch. He chose to be faithful to his calling as a shepherd and not slack off when no one was watching. No one would have blamed him if he had lost one or two sheep. Yet he was considered just a boy by most people, but David had determined in his heart, in order to be the absolute best shepherd possible, he could not afford to lose one lamb. And so he went the extra mile, not for fame, not for glory, but because of it was part of his character and it was part of his obedience to his calling. And so success begins with doing the mundane, the non-glorious, the obedient actions that no one else sees when no one else is cheering you on. And so we love to tell the story of David and Goliath, but the roots of David being positioned to be amplified, glorified, exalted, lifted up, it started by David's faithfulness to obey his father and to bring food to his brothers. He didn't go to kill a giant to become the most popular man in all of Israel. That wasn't his mission. His mission was go and take this food to your brothers. But it was through that personal discipline, it was through that personal obedience that now that positioned him to do even greater things and have greater success in his life and his ministry. Are you being faithful to study and to read the scriptures? Many ministers don't burn out, they rust out. Where does rust come from? From being out exposed to the environment, not being used, not being taken care of, just left out to the elements. And so many times I see ministers, they're not burnt out, they're rusted out. So faithfulness is being a hard worker. Number three, am I growing? I can't expect my team to grow, my staff to grow, my members to grow if I'm not growing. So I need to be a reader. I need to be growing myself, growing my team, growing the people around me. What is the latest book that you have read? What are you doing to grow, feed, nurture, and stretch and expand yourself? Who are you hanging out with that's better than you? That is that iron sharpening iron, and their insights and their leadership is making you a better leader. Number four, am I serving and accessible to the people? Am I serving and making myself accessible to the people? We know what Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As pastors, it's all too easy to shift out of this servant mode. And the subtle tides of ministry can pull us from a servant's heart to a self-service attitude, that we're not there to serve the people. The people are here to serve us. And so we all must answer, do we use our power and our position for our own personal gain and our own personal benefit, or are we there to serve the people? And there's no greater picture of a servant's heart in Christ's life than when he washed his disciples' feet, a task that was reserved for the lowliest of servants. And it just shows the humility and the authenticity of Christ, that winning in ministry is giving yourself for the benefit of others, being accessible, being reachable, being touchable. I've always said this, a shepherd should smell like sheep. A shepherd, if he's with the flock, if he's mixing with the sheep, he's going to smell like the sheep. Number five, am I loving God and loving others? Am I loving God and loving others? We know what the greatest commandment was, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Too many leaders, don't love their people or love their sheep like we know we could or should. Staff abuse, the way leaders treat their staff in the body of Christ is often self-serving, egotistical, hard-headed. It's brash, it's rude, it's stingy, it's being ungrateful. And we need to lead with love. We need to lead with the mindset of love. The Leader's Version Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13, leaders are patient, leaders are kind, leaders don't envy and they don't boast, leaders are not proud, leaders don't dishonor others and are not self-seeking, leaders are not easily angered and keep no record of wrongs, leaders do not delight in evil but rejoice with the truth, and leaders always protect, always trust, always hopes, always persevere. Leaders never quit. Love is the way that we should lead. Number six, am I spending quality time in prayer? Jesus led the example of how many times we see he separated from the crowds to a place of solitude, to a place of prayer. And often I have found that prayer changes me more than it changes my circumstances. Prayer is where I can unpack my hurts, my wounds, and my garbage. Prayer is where I can release the authority of the name of Jesus over situations. Prayer is that seeking the Lord for his wisdom and his counsel. And so I believe that true success is birthed in prayer as we align our life with Christ. And so we just need to come to that place of solitude and quiet and prayer. And number seven, am I living a holy, disciplined life? We can never be successful and win in life if we live a life contrary to God's will. It's all too easy to become desensitized by the things in our world and the media and all the things around us, but there's nothing more empowering than ministering with a clear conscience and from a place of holiness. I believe this. I believe that probably 80 to 90% of what ministers do, they're doing right. They're doing good. But I believe the big difference comes in that last 5 to 10%. Am I called, sanctified, and separated? Am I living a life above where I want people to go? John Maxwell said, if you want the people to rise to a 5 as a leader, we have to walk as a 7. Paul challenged Titus and he said, since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And number eight, am I living by faith? Wow, it's all too easy to be absorbed by the facts staring us in the face. And I can just tell you that every major win that we have seen at Rock Family Church has been the result of a crazy, bold, daring step of faith. That when we were just launching, we were meeting in a school for our first year. We're running 120 people. We're paying $1,500 a month for a school to meet in. And now we're going to shift to $4,000 a month plus utilities. We're going to triple our base expenses. That was scary, but it was such a great step of faith, and God honored us and met us there. When we wanted to purchase back in 2013, the building that we're in, and I went to 16 different banks, filed out 16 different loan applications so that we as a church at that time that was about 9 years old, had a clean bill of health. Financially, we're healthy, we're strong, and it took faith at Bank 14. Bank 15, Bank 16, and finally approaching Bank 17, not giving up, but putting action to our faith. Bank 17 said, we'd be glad to do business with you. Back in 2017, when God challenged me, call the building paid for in Jesus' name. And I began to say to our church, we call this building paid for. This building is paid for. We call you paid in full. It took us 6 years before we saw that come to pass. But I believe the miracle that we had of someone wanting to buy our adjacent land at top market value that ultimately paid off our building was the result of those years of declaration and holding steady in faith. Number nine, do I have a positive and influential attitude? Do I have a positive and influential attitude? A negative attitude is like trying to swim the English Channel with ankle weights on. It pulls us back. It weights us down. And winning is a mindset. And I love Paul's mindset in 2 Corinthians 4 when he said, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we know we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but hey, we are not destroyed. And we can never win with a negative attitude. And so people will have faith in our faith. When we stay positive, we'll influence our church. Hey guys, we're going to stop right there. Next month, how to measure success for our teams and our team members. I hope you'll join me back. Check out deanhawk.com for all of our resources available to pastors, both here in the States and around the world. God bless you guys. Have a great Easter.
Thank you for joining us today. For free sermon series and teaching outlines by Pastor Dean, visit us at deanhawk.com. Be sure and join us next month as we continue our growth on leadership.